So thinking about, like, why bad guys, really bad guys, maintain power and control, I think it teaches a lot about how to deal with those types of nasty people. You know, in the Middle East, you've got, like, all these dictators, and they basically are structured on, like, a almost like a pyramid scheme of fear. You've got the people, the leader, has enlisted enough loyal people who are relatively loyal to them. They've intimidated them, or he bought them off, or they believed him at some point, and then he uses them against each other. So the head of the police keeps the military head somewhat in check. The head of the militia keeps the police guy somewhat in check. People beneath them are afraid of the people above them. There's enough people that you don't really ever know who's a threat, who's dangerous. The only way, really, to break that chain of fear and actually overthrow a dictator, because really the dictator is just one guy. He's not that impressive. Oftentimes he's old. He really can't do hardly anything. But he maintains that fear because he has the people around him who fear him. If you can break that chain of fear, the best way to do that is to have an outside force, or possibly an internal force if it's the people, that are actually more imposing than whatever threat the dictator can pose. Once you have enough people believe that the old regime is going out, then they give up. Because it's all based on fear. It's not based on love or loyalty for most of them. For most of them, it's based purely on, I think I will die if I don't do what I'm told. So in the case of, like, Egypt, it worked really well because the dictatorship was basically supported by the military. As soon as there were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people who were going crazy in the streets, and on top of that, the military gets most of its funding from the U.S., and the U.S. was not happy with the dictatorship, it became very obvious the military decided, hey, the only way to maintain some level of power is to get rid of the dictator. No skin off our nose. He doesn't really threaten us. We're the ones who are in charge, really. You know, so they just sort of realized that they could take over, and they did. And then they essentially have maintained, like, very loose strings in the background to continue getting whatever it is they were getting, the money and whatever else from the U.S., etc. In the case of Libya, it's a similar situation. You had the Libyan army supporting Muammar Gaddafi because he was fighting against a bunch of, you know, pathetic rebels who really weren't doing very well. As soon as the Europeans and the Americans stepped in, the threat was huge. Now all of a sudden you have real force behind the rebels, and it becomes incredibly obvious that the regime is going to lose, and you just start losing people more and more. Syria, it was started somewhat like this. You had all these defections that were emerging, but the defections were because of the fact that the regime was losing some points. Now the regime, through support from all these other terror groups like Hezbollah and from help from countries like Iran and Russia, they have regained the upper hand, and that is going to make it so much harder to beat them. The only way now, I think, that you're going to be able to really break that chain of fear and overthrow a regime that's brutally massacring its own people is by creating a threat that's greater than them. And I think the only way to do that, really, is for the West to intervene somehow. Either it's giving powerful weapons to the rebels, or it's putting in a no-fly zone or something. A strong enough statement of force that makes the people around the regime realize, we're going to lose. And the only way that we're going to save our lives is if we, you know, throw down our guns and pretend like this never happened, or find some place to go and hide. And I don't, it may not even require, like, a real war, but it requires a real threat. And right now, it's just not there.